You are listening to episode 9 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wodke, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
Thank you for joining me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, as always.
What's happening in your world these days?
Oh, just doing a lot of work and doing a lot of traveling for work. Not too much. How about you? How are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm doing good. We all know I have a real job, which, you know, takes more of my time than I'd like, and, you know, plugging away doing this other work and having dirty thoughts and trying to do dirty things, which doesn't always work.
I hate when that happens.
Unfortunately. I think I'm also more boozed in than you.
Yeah. I think you got a happy hour in before I did there. So I'm just getting started. So
I put off recording because I was happy houring, and I'm kind of disappointed, Dave, that you didn't drink during that time.
Well, you know, I generally have a philosophy of not drinking before 7 o'clock, unless it's like a party.
Well, that's bullshit. That's a stupid rule.
I mean, unless I'm going out, you know, at a happy hour, then I'll start drinking earlier. But today I was taking it easy there. So
you've never heard of day drinking?
Yeah. I think my really hard line is noon. I will definitely not drink before noon. So
then you miss mimosas.
I know.
All right. I'm not going to judge you if you don't judge me.
No judging here.
Okay, great. And I'm drinking pink Prosecco.
Oh, very nice. And I'm drinking my typical Carlo Rossi, but this time it's Burgundy I'm drinking.
Mm. Burgundy is high class, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not too sure. As long as it has alcohol, that's my limit.
Just say yes, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody
it is.
Says you're high class, Dave. You just fucking smile and nod.
All right, so you want to get talking here on a particular subject here.
I do want to get talking.
All right, let's go. So the topic is dating, and how do we go about dating, especially nowadays in the recent Me Too movement? I think a lot of people are kind of like afraid to move forward. Okay, what am I going to do? What can I say that is, you know, I'm not going to offend somebody? So, you know, how do we go forward with here? And a little bit on my background, not that I had any kind of like game to begin with before. I mean, I had always thought I felt bad for women when I would listen to other guys, you know, give their lines or say whatever they're going to say to try and pick up women. I'm like, oh my gosh, women have always had to deal with a lot of BS coming from guys, you know. So I was like, you know, I always felt bad for women. But as I get older and I realize that, hey, you know what? You know, women, you know, have their BS as well.
I think that's wrong.
Okay.
I'm lying. Okay. I might be a little drunk. Okay, keep going. I shouldn't have interrupted.
Oh, no. Okay. I think a lot of people are afraid nowadays with the whole Me Too movement and afraid to, I think a lot of guys may be afraid to approach women nowadays, regardless of, you know, what had worked before in the past. Now may not work when trying to approach women because they're afraid of a, you know, lawsuit being brought up because I said something or did something wrong.
Okay, I have thoughts.
Okay.
I mean, if you're now afraid that the things you've been saying and doing to women are going to result in a lawsuit, part of me is like, well, clearly the Me Too movement is working because – fuck you if you were doing things that actually made women scared enough and traumatized enough that they felt that they needed to sue.
I agree.
Right? So, I mean, I'm not trying to say that I don't recognize that there is fear, that men are feeling fear right now around this movement. But that kind of fear that they're going to be prosecuted and thrown in jail seems a little bit misdirected, misfounded, out of proportion, I guess.
True. And I agree. I think it's an overamplification And that's what fear does to you.
Right.
You
know, sure.
You blow things up in your mind and everything, you know, you normally start spiraling down to like the worst possible case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I was saying before, you know, it was interesting too, because I had always, you know, not that I had any kind of game before in the past, and I would always listen to other guys talk about, you know, say things to women to try and pick them up or do things, or at least when guys would talk, you know, the locker room talk, you know, and brag. I'm like, okay, this was, you know, it always blew my mind on all the stuff I would hear that guys would talk about, or listen to the guys talking to women. It's like, why would a woman even give this guy any kind of credence? But apparently these kind of things worked, or it was accepted in the past.
That's really interesting from my female perspective. Like, I guess my interpretation is that these things that these men were saying in the locker room were so awful that you couldn't believe that women would be with them. But I wonder, like, why did she, and what was he saying? And I think for me, the incongruity lies in what was he saying in the locker room versus how he interacted with her. Like, it seems to me that there must be like somewhat of a gap there.
Oh, I agree. I think there's definitely probably a bravado that goes on in the locker room. And again, when the guy was talking to the woman, he could have been, you know, easily scared or didn't know what to say and would say whatever just came out of his mouth. And I think sometimes that may be all that you need.
But is the pressure of the locker room really that great that men are going to throw their women under the bus?
I don't think it's throwing women under the bus. I think so much as it's trying to make them look good. And it's more like they won't brag on what they say. They'll say, I picked up this girl this night, you know, and we, you know, went off and we had sex. Okay. Or what have you. And I think when you leave that story open like that, then it's up to the person who's listened to the story to start filling in the blanks. Like, they would normally assume, okay, well, this guy, you know, he must have obviously picked a good-looking woman, and you know, they put this image of what they consider a good-looking woman, you know, hooking up with this guy. The guy never even said what this woman looked like, but you know, he's kind of it's left open, or you know, what exactly, you know, all the finer details. We don't get into those kind of details when we talk. It's a very broad kind of talking there.
So, did you ever think that some of it was bullshit?
I think a lot of it is BS.
A lot of it is,
you know,
BS.
Especially as I get older, I realize that, you know, a lot of guys, again, it's a lot of bravado that guys, you know, put on, again, just to make themselves be, you know, or seem like that dominant man, right? And as long as someone buys it, then okay, it works.
Why do other men buy it? Like, why do men need to buy it? Because that's the only audience in the locker room, right? Is other men. It's not women.
Right. So it's a matter of, I don't know, I think it's just, you know, built into us. It's like, okay, you know, people have to stand out somehow, right? How do I make myself the leader of the pack, or they're more envied by others, right?
Like a competitive?
In a competitive way, but that's on one side. But I think the other side of it too is that reality is we are all like insecure on things. And as long as I can make you believe that I'm not as insecure, that I have everything under control, then, and as long as you buy it, hey, it works.
I kind of don't really know what to say to that, in the sense that it seems like you're telling me that men in the locker room are, I mean, is it really like essentially like a psychological, I've dated wank fest? Like, I'm better than you? Like, that, in some ways, that seems really crazy to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, when people talk about like this alpha male, bravo male, or beta male, that, you know, it's all about being the alpha male, the lead guy. And, you know, again, as long as someone shows that they can be the leader, then, and I think even in some groups, there'll always be someone who will step out or will seem to be better than the rest. So it's almost like on the instinctual level. And I wonder, again, I think, you know, women do the same thing, just in their own fashion.
Well, I don't know that women do locker room talk in that sense. Like, I don't know that that exists. Certainly, women have very explicit sexual talk, but it's with a group of friends that they see outside of their workplace and outside of their gym locker room talk. I don't know where the locker room is actually that we're talking about. But I don't know that women have that explicitness in a casual circle that it seems like you're describing. If women have these, and women, 100%, women do have these very sexually explicit conversations, but they're happening, I think, in a circle of much closer friendship than what you're describing. So it seems, my experience has been that it doesn't seem to be a competition in that alpha male sort of sense. Whenever women have had these sexual conversations, in my experience, has more been like, hey, this is what's happening to me. Like, have you had this? Like, it's more, I think, an attempt to normalize, to find common ground, to look for similarities in sexual experience and relationship experiences, to bond, I guess, in a sense of like, we're all the same and what's happening in my sex life isn't abnormal and it's not weird and it's not. Women, I don't think, are trying to take control in these conversations over other women. They're trying to find a commonality, collegiality, yeah. I guess, I think.
I can see that. You know, women can do this kind of stuff. And from one perspective, I could say it's like maybe they're just trying to figure out the BS that the guy just laid on them, you know, the night before. But then another side, too, is how do you explain like this queen bee type of behavior, which is, you know, sort of similar, or like the mean girl type of.
There's a ton of interesting articles around that, actually, in that that's a manifestation of a sexist, misogynist society that are really super interesting. And that's not to let anybody off the hook, but I think ultimately, in a lot of ways, we're kind of, especially in our careers, we're all vying for control. So if these women are vying for control or are coming up in an industry that has been traditionally male dominant, it seems to be that some of them fall into that queen bee role, because it's not the workplace and the workforce and our society isn't structured in a way that it makes it easy for women to help other women come up, in the sense that, like, she's, you know, the queen bee has dealt with a lot of shit and then there's somebody vying for it. And yeah, it's just, I'm not super highly educated on that whole thing, but it's not an easy answer, I don't think. And women can also be misogynists. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're a woman who's come up in a male dominated industry in a time where it was harder for women to come up, and you've gotten to the top and you achieved that success, yeah, maybe an unfortunate byproduct of that is that you see other women as competition for your job and work, because we're not equalized in the sense that a woman coming up is much more threatening than a man coming up, because she, the one, you know, the queen bee is, you know, at the top of the hive and is threatened by another woman threatening to overturn her beedom or whatever it is. Whereas I don't think women feel that threat so much from men. So I think, I don't know that I made sense there, Dave.
I was holding out for the end.
But I mean, you got my point. But, yeah. You know, I think.
Yeah, I get so. And I think definitely a plug, because this is some of the topics we talk about. I'm part of a lean-in group. I think I mentioned it one of the last podcasts. And for those people who are not familiar with lean-in, it's based on a book that Sheryl Sandberg did, Lean In. And it talks about different challenges women have in the workplace. And it's not just from being in a male-dominated environment, but also some of the things that women do that help hold themselves back from moving up and leaning in, sitting at the table. And so these are a lot of the discussions. And it's interesting when we hear some of the older women, you know, talk, you know, about some of their experiences they've had, you know, deal with being in an all-male environment, and where things were just kind of like accepted. And nowadays, these younger generations are like, you know, they hear these stories and they're like aghast, because mm-hmm. like, that would never fly today. Would never put up with that kind of BS, mm-hmm. which is good. But at the same time, too, I also see a lot of you know, older women, too, that may, just like, you know, I generally have a dispassion for, you know, listen to guy BS. Women don't want to hear other, you know, younger women's BS on a lot of things. And, you know, they can, it can seem to be misogynistic, or is it more, you know, realistic of perspective, like, okay, yeah, that sounds, you know, nice, but that's not real, you know, there's no truth to that, you know, or are you just being, you know, are you falling into certain biases? So for those who are listening, again, I would definitely look up for being in part of a local lean-in circle so we can discuss these things. Because definitely, I want to see, we want to see more of a 50-50 perspective. I mean, considering if half the people in the world are women and half of them are men, that we want to definitely, it should be reflected in everything we do, sports to, work, environment, and, go from there. So these are definitely discussions, but that's more along in the workplace. But we want to talk about, outside the workplace, right? So I'm not going to be sexually harassing in the workplace. But okay,
how say that okay. Shit just got heavy. It's fine. It's fine.
I'm sorry about that. Let me drink some more
wine. You are talking good things.
So to get back on our subject is
picking up women.
Picking up women, right? Because this is not inside the workplace. Because okay, great, yes, don't be sexually harassing women or be a jerk inside the workplace. All right, yes. So now we're outside the workplace. Okay, so now I don't have the scrutiny of my boss and my coworkers around me.
I'm at a bar, pick up how you want to pick up.
Right.
So tell me, Dave.
So so nowadays again,
your experiences.
Okay, my experiences. Okay, it's been a while. I gotta be honest. It's been a while since I've dated. I mean, I go out and I'm part of different groups and I'm very friendly. But because it's been so a while, I don't even know what to say sometimes. And so sometimes I just it's easier just to keep the conversations on a friendly basis. So how do you move forward? Recently, I tried to pick up a woman or trying to push the boundaries and say, hey, let's, if you want to meet outside of this situation, hey, let me know. And all of a sudden, I find myself like, habada, 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 habada. And I was like, okay, what am I, back in high school? Like, come on.
I'm sorry. Shit.
No. I mean, please laugh, because I was like, what the heck is going on here? Mm. So yeah. So all right. So let's discuss. Let's get the focus off me now, and direct it to you, and say, okay, what's some of the lines you heard that? Okay, hey, because again, as a woman, you tend to hear a lot more than the guy. So like, I may come across and say, okay, I have my approach, and maybe developing my approach, and it's very one sided. But as a woman who receives, you're hearing a lot of different lines out there.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that I hear lines. That's kind of a bit old school, and nobody busts out with what is one of those, are there stars in your eyes? And I can't remember. There's good pickup lines, but I don't remember them. I haven't been hit with that kind of old school pickup line in eons. For me personally, which is obviously not every woman's experience, but that hardcore pickup doesn't really so much seem to exist anymore, in the sense that that guy in Mexico, I mean, I fucking was signaling left, right, and center, approach, 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 right? Looking at him and, smiling, and he's across the bar and blah, 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 blah. And I might have even gone around the bar and introduced myself. And then he might have come back around to where I was sitting. And, now that he had, an opening, came in and sat close, and the conversation went from there. For me, it seems like that pickup has shifted a little bit, and more that it's who's sitting beside me, or not necessarily beside me, but in my vicinity seems to be having, a good time, and we're kind of looking at each other, checking each other out. And then there's just kind of a closing of the gap, kind of without the, the cheesy but so fucking great pickup lines, if that makes sense.
So you're feeling the connection.
And then
and more eye contact as you go along,
sit and have a chat, and then inevitably somebody's like, so should we get another drink, should we go somewhere, have a drink at my place, or what have you.
So it's still things
it's not
very black and white, as people like to say. Wouldn't it be nice if we can just be like, hey, you want to have sex? Yes or no. But thanks for asking. But we're not there yet. It's still kind of more of a dance around the bush. But
sometimes I've been like, I fucking want to have sex. And sometimes that goes and sometimes it doesn't. As a woman, like, I've experienced that as well. I have actually, Dave, experienced rejection.
You open that bottle.
You know what? You know what? Rejection on a one-off, like, doesn't want to hook up, doesn't want to, like, I'm fine with, like, I walk away from that. Like, that's fuck with my psyche. That doesn't impact who I am as a person and how I interact with the world. A deeper rejection is, like, when it's somebody that I'm, like, you know, really into. And often for me, my pattern is that often we're fucking, but there's no opportunity to date. So that's my rejection. It's not the sexual element. It's that, oh, I'm happy to fuck you, but you don't get any space in my life. So that's been something that I've been dealing with and having to sort out a little bit.
That's interesting. Both men, women can look at this, you know, in different fashions. Like, you know, do you have a relationship first and then have sex, or do you have sex first and then have a relationship? I think a lot of people would. I mean, the typical thing is, okay, let's date first and then see if, you know, can we click before we even decide to jump into bed. But, you know, it's equally just as fun if you can, you know, go straight. You know,
well, sometimes I think a little bit then, opposite. Okay, like, I've had some sexual experiences where I'm like, I will fucking marry you for this shit. Because I think we often in our, you know, romantic relationships, our emotional relationships, we default into the expectation like we're going to be sexually monogamous and this is the only person that I can have sex with. And so there have been a couple one night stands where I'm like, are you joking? Like, this is crazy. Fit me, like, physically, like, you fit me, the sex is perfect. Like, that's kind of the first thing I need, because I don't know. I don't know that it works the other way. I don't know that it works the other way where you're like, oh, you're an amazing person, I love you, blah, 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 blah. And then the sex comes. That hasn't happened for me. Like, the sex doesn't come. If it's not there, it's never manifested. So, yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, that's good. I mean, I like your approach, I think, on this. Because really, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, it's what, you know, the end goal is okay, hey, hopefully, you know, can we have sex? But, you know, one of the things guys are always worried about is like, okay, if I'm going to date this girl, I'm going to take her out to dinner, I'm going to do all these different things. Like, I'm investing my time and money into a woman, and then
and I don't women, have sex. And women, like, actually, why, women feel, you know, shitty. Women feel really shitty, but if that happens and, you know, she doesn't put out, and then he goes her, she's like, oh, he just wanted my pussy. He was spending the money to get my pussy, didn't get it, doesn't fucking like me. And that's actually soul crushing for a lot of women.
Right.
So it's like, okay,
so what, you know, it, where's that fine line of, and again, because, I mean, there's equally, you know, a good argument of, okay, just because a guy buys you dinner,
right,
does not mean he's going to, you know, get sex. So it's like, cause, you know, again, are we reverting right to basically another form of, you know, bartering? Okay, I give you money or, you know, food for sex. And it's one of those things, okay, you know, do you have that, can we collect in a jive as a friendship? Because again, mm-hmm, if you find that guy that, hey, you've had great sex, yeah, with, okay, great, and you want to marry this guy. So now, here's my question to you, is when you, those guys that you found, they're like, oh my gosh, this is freaking amazing, let's, you know, keep this going. Has it always been that those guys are the guys that don't want to have a relationship?
No. It's been all over the map. There was somebody that I had a really great sex with and he wanted a relationship, and I did not do right by him. I was awful to him, actually.
Okay.
Long term, and that he totally wanted to be with me and was totally willing to do whatever it took. And when push came to shove, and I was encouraging him to do whatever, you know, he needed to do to be with me. And when push came to shove, I fucking lost my mind and I bailed. And he was like, are you fucking kidding? And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. And yes, I'm an asshole. I had this moment of like, if I go with him, like, the sex is great. He's a great person. We actually really have a good friendship and a good emotional connection. But there was just something not there. And it actually took a lot of soul searching, because I was like, I could be really happy with this person, but something just wasn't quite firing. And I look back on it and I really kind of in some ways don't know what to do with it. I mean, it was the right decision, but in some ways I look back on it and I'm like, wow, you kind of had a 90% that you chose not to be with. So do you get another 90%? Like, do you get 100%? Like,
well, that's the thing is, so it sounds like a fear of commitment.
No, and forgive me. And I don't want that to be said because that is not accurate. It's not a fear of commitment. I've had moments where I could fucking commit all over the map. It wasn't a fear of commitment. It was I want more. And if I want more and if I'm going to keep looking, I love this person enough that I owe him to not commit to him when I know that some little part of me is going to still be always looking.
I meant to ask you, was there a fear of commitment there? But in this case, it's not a fear of commitment, but there was something there. And I think the reality is getting a 90% solution is probably pretty good. You know, can you ever get 100% the perfect person?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that's what makes our lives interesting. And then it's a matter of making that other, gap work. But, again, hopefully you've worked through a lot of things in the dating process. Because, again, the first few years of, in a relationship, you can put your best foot forward. But after, I think the typical thing is after about like 3 to 5 years, it's like, okay, if you've been living together for 3 to 5 years, you really have seen, you've slipped up and although you've been putting the best foot forward, you slipped up and you've actually shown your true self. And off that, it's like, okay, it's just too much work to trying to keep up a facade.
I feel like I don't do the best foot forward thing anymore. Well, I mean, I do in the sense that I like doing the hair and the makeup and all that, and the physicality of putting the best foot forward. And of course, obviously there's an emotional personal element to putting your best foot forward as well. Kind of want to say that I'm over that is the sense that I'm here. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. Like, I'm not fucking faking and lying it anymore. Like, I am who I am. Like, I'm a fucking no filter, slightly alcoholic, love sex kind of woman. And if you can't deal with that, you can't deal with that. Yeah.
Right. I think that comes with age. Even still, I mean, you always still want to lead in, with, okay, now come across as totally crazy from the first part. Don't let your crazy all out in one spot there. You start off, you dress nice, you start off having general conversations, but after a while, it's like, okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty and let's be who we are. And it'd be great if we can just all be that way to begin with. But again, everyone comes from their background, their own fears, and making sure they're giving a good impression. But then when you get to a certain age, it's like, listen, you either accept me for who I am or you don't.
But I wanted to push back to you. We've been recording for a little while now, but I wanted to push back to you and talk about your experiences with approaches to women, and what are the responses? Like, how do you approach? What are the responses? What do you do? What do you, tell me, Dave, tell me.
It's all misdirection. So I've been putting pressure on you. So now it's back on me now. Okay. It's been a while since I've dated, but again, I do go out with some groups and I'm getting out more active. For many years, I've been devoted to work. And then, come up with all these excuses. I can't, work so much because I've traveled so much, blah, blah, blah. Or I can't date because I travel so much. But, so now I'm going out, I'm finding little groups to hang out with. And, there's been, some women that, I think I've could have, connected with or, had sex, but it's like, it just didn't feel right for me. And again, maybe this is one of those things as I've noticed as guys, as we get older, it's kind of like the roles reverse where, you hear young women, would say, I have to have a connection and I gotta love him first before I even have sex. And guys just want to I just want to have sex, right? And now as I'm getting older, I'm like, there's got to be, having had, relationships in the past, been married before.
You don't want to feel like
I need to have that connection.
Somebody just wants
before
to
I, think.
Or would you take that?
But, there's that it's a nice thought, but then you have this like, okay,
oh, well, the good crazy or the best crazy
am I going to get my hands into here? So yeah, so it's a matter of okay, am I going to have the good crazy, you know, best in bed kind of thing, and then you know, what do I do with afterwards? So I, you know, I'm personally, you know, I'm looking for that, you know, connection first. I mean, again, I love sex, and I have it. If I have sex with a woman, I want to have it again and again. It's not like I have a hard time.
Because
with
you,
that.
You
it's a nice idea to have a one night stand, but I think I have a hard time, you know, personally with that because like. Well, yeah, I mean, hell, I mean, if woman has sex with me once, hey, why not do it again? Then there's the afterwards, okay? Great, we may have good sex, but then what am I going to, you know, get afterwards?
I've never had to do that.
You know, find ways of avoiding this person.
I had to do that a few weeks ago. But we're not going to talk about it. We can talk about it off the air.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. But the, I mean, again, not that there's guys that are crazy out there, there's women crazy. I mean, it's just.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask what level of crazy was I? What level of crazy are you? Do I have to rate myself? No, I'd rate myself like a 4.
Because we all think that we're normal, right? You know?
How about you, Dave?
I like to think I'm not crazy. I have, but again, so is everybody else.
You're clearly overthinking this shit.
Yeah, I'd say.
Here's the thing, Dave. If you have to think about how crazy you are,
people,
you're probably a fucking 10. Bad shit, crazy, Dave.
Crazy. Got it. Okay.
I'm just a 4. You're a 10. Maybe I'm female, which apparently we peek later. Who knows if that's actually accurate? But part of me is like, I didn't capitalize on all those like teenage hormones that are like so rapid. Well, I mean, but part of me is like, it's a good thing that I didn't capitalize on that because in some ways my life has kind of been an opposite trajectory. Like I lost my virginity really late in life and now later, like, you know, so super sexual, so doing a lot of things that maybe the average person wouldn't do. So maybe it's flipped. Maybe it worked. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that was, you know, what was getting at before. Yeah. Whereas again, when you're younger, again, a lot of the messages, especially that women have to deal with, like, okay, at what point do you say yes? You know, if you say yes, you know, too soon, you're a slut. If you're, there's a lot of things that women have to deal with at the younger ages. Again, as they get older and they become more secure in sexuality, then it's a lot more easier. Whereas guys, it's like, okay, listen, it's about all about having as much sex as I can. And then now as I get older, now it's like, hey, I want to have that connection beforehand. So, you know, it's interesting and it kind of almost plays into, okay, you know, the reason of okay, you know, typically, again, always the older guy likes a younger woman kind of thing. But nowadays when we have, I think, having a lot more cougars, you know, which was generally a normal, negative term, I think it's becoming more and more accepted situation where older women are, can feel okay with dating younger guys. I know a lot of women can be turned off with that, but okay, listen, I don't want to have to train a guy.
Refractory, you know, when it comes period down is to, short. Hey,
there's a young guy, he can, you know, get it up and then his refractory period is very small. Yeah, exactly. He can come right back. Okay, it's actually a good deal for older women to date younger men. You know, then again, there's the after effect of like, okay, now, okay, do I date this guy and do I have, you know, he's dealing with some problems that like I've already dealt with years ago. Yeah. It's like, do I want to deal with this kind of stuff? But, you know, on the sex side is great. Do we want to call it quits here?
Thanks for listening. You can find Dr. Dave at drdavereports.com. And he's a regular contributor. And you can find this podcast soon on iTunes. And if you can't fit it on iTunes, it's to be at jenwadke.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wadke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wadke Facebook group or check out jenwadke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.